Hey there, Mr. Reddit here. Welcome back to another episode of r/EntitledParentStories. Our first story we'll be reading today. Entitled brother fakes illness to milk my parents of their retirement savings. After that, mother wants to use my art for free because she's my mother. After that, would you like some cheese with your wine? After that, entitled mother tries to steal meat and candy from store. Now, Karen personally told me if we can get 1,000 likes on this video, she won't steal any more meat or cheese for an entire week. So please smash that like button. And if you're new, subscribe and turn on notifications for new stories from Reddit every single day. Don't forget to check out our brand new merch, link pinned below. And if you join as an official member of the ReArmy today, I'll give you a special shout out. Entitled brother fakes illness to milk my parents of their retirement savings. So I grew up in a middle-class family in a low-income area. My dad built his dream house there, and even though they could afford to move, they never wanted to. My parents had a tendency to spoil my older brother far more than us, mostly because I was the quiet one who never spoke up. This resulted in my brother getting his way more often than me. Nothing blatant, but it was enough to give him an entitlement complex a mile wide. When my brother was a teenager, he struggled with some serious mental illnesses. These were absolutely legitimate and crippled his ability to function for several years. My parents were obviously very concerned for him, and so they willingly paid top dollar for the best psychiatrist and psychologist that they could find to help him. By the time I was ready to go to a different city to start university, my brother was at a stage where he was ready to go as well. It was decided that he would go to a university as the same city as me, and we would live together. My parents offered to pay for our rent all the way through university, so us flatting together obviously made a lot of financial sense for them. We would have to pay for everything else out of our student loans. Everything was set. We had found a good student flat, settled in, etc. He had a new care team in the new city. Awesome. Unfortunately, my brother had an episode on his first day that resulted in him not going to class. This meant he was removed from his program, compulsory first day, with the option of starting again in the second semester. Now, the obvious, logical, and sensible thing to do in that situation is for my brother to go home while I found a roommate to take the spare bedroom and he could move back up and try again next semester. My brother didn't like that idea. You see, he always hated living at home. He would always whine about how old our house was or how poor our neighborhood looked. Our neighborhood was lovely, great sense of community, and I always loved it there. But he felt that he deserved better. Next thing we knew, his new psychologist has written a letter to my parents stating that it would be a good idea to allow him to stay living in the new city, to allow him to acclimate to his surroundings. My parents followed this advice and allowed him to stay. They replaced his weekly loan amount with an allowance of the same value and thought everything would move forward from there. This worked for a few weeks, but my brother started to hound my parents for more money. You see, he wasn't a student, so in his mind, why should he have to live like a student? No instant noodles and TV dinners for him. He wanted steak and lamb for dinner. He wanted to go to nice restaurants with his friends and go shopping whenever he felt like it. He wanted a new iPhone and a new MacBook because his was slow, etc. My parents eventually gave in and doubled his allowance. Second semester rolls around, and my brother hasn't even bothered enrolling. My parents weren't happy, but his psychologist writes him another letter, and so it continues. Fast forward 3 years, and I'm graduating with a job offer from my university in my field. The apartment is nice and convenient to my new job, so I continue to live there. Only now, I pay for my half of the rent and utilities. My brother is still not working or studying, and his allowance is now almost equal to my salary. Every time my parents try to force him home, his psychologist writes another letter, and my parents' trust in my brother's care team was high. They did save his life after all. By this point, my parents are just paying for his half of the utilities directly on top of his allowance. I suggested to my parents to get a second medical opinion, as he had been seeing this psychologist almost weekly for 3 years with no improvement, but my brother flat out refuses. He likes her. She speaks to his soul, whatever that means. About a year and a half after I graduate, our landlord decides to sell the apartment and the new owners want to live there. normal thing that happens, and I'm not bothered by this. I wanted to take the opportunity to get my own place. I have a serious girlfriend whom I want to eventually marry, so would like my own space that she could one day move into, and just generally move on with my adult life. But my parents don't want my brother living on his own just yet, and again, he is refusing to come home. They beg me to stay for just one more year while they figure out an arrangement for him. We got rather short notice to move, so I can understand this, and one more year won't matter too much to me. So apartment hunting we go. My brother goes fully off the entitlement deep end. He will only view apartments well outside of our price range. Anything within budget is either too old, or too small, or too dark, or too ugly. He wants a new, modern apartment in an expensive suburb in the heart of the city. His psychologist writes another letter outlining the importance of a comfortable environment for him. My parents cave once again and agree to rent his dream apartment for us, but I can't afford my half of the new rent. They compromise with me, and I only have to pay the same rent as I was before, which is barely one-third of the rent at the new place, mind you. It's a beautiful apartment, so I was okay with the deal, even though I wasn't happy. Unfortunately, my brother is now used to getting everything he wants or needs. He starts asking me to pay for more and more of the groceries. Idiot me, thinking that mom and dad had cut down on his allowance now that the rent is so expensive, agreed to take up some of the slack. Big mistake. They were still giving him the same amount. He just wanted more. He starts asking me for more and more things and then whines to mom when I don't give it to him. My parents cave over and over again and get him whatever he wants. New computer, new MacBook, new iPhone, heck, even a car. Up until this point, my parents could afford all of this and somehow still save well for their retirement. My mom was completely honest with me about their finances, as when the time came, the power of attorney would transfer to me, so she wanted me to know where they stood. They were on track for a long, comfortable retirement, but then my dad unfortunately lost his job through very unusual circumstances. His company just disappeared, and his boss left the country. This messed my dad up for quite a while, and he decided it was time to kick back and enjoy an early retirement. He was only 2 years short of his retirement age anyway. My brother was furious. He would rage about how dad had betrayed him for not continuing to work to fund his lifestyle. He would regularly yell at my mom over the phone, saying that he expects them to continue to support him because he deserves the security of the lifestyle he has earned. I laughed my butt off at that line, which turned into another long fight, but was totally worth it. I knew that without dad's income, my parents couldn't afford the rent where we lived, so I decided to force the issue and moved into my own place. I had hoped that this would result in my brother moving as well, but alas, his psychologist wrote him another letter and he continued to live there. I moved on with my life, got married, went back to university, bought a house, grown-up stuff. 5 years go by and I have virtually no contact with my brother. I'm visiting my parents one day, and when I take them out for lunch, my mom breaks down crying because she can't pay. It turns out that my brother had been blackmailing my parents to continue to support him, saying that if they didn't, he'd end up homeless and it would be their fault, etc. He still had the full support of his medical team, and my parents didn't know what to do. He had burned through nearly 20 years worth of retirement savings since I moved out. My parents were both forced to go back to work to try and stretch out their retirement savings. I decide to visit the psychologist myself, only to find out that she is one of those tell people what they want to hear so they keep giving me money predatory type psychologists who was enabling my brother because he was a cash cow for her. Our entire family was furious. Turns out my brother had been recovered since his first year living away from home. He was perfectly able to work or study, he just didn't want to. And so she wrote him those bogus letters to let him get away with it. He decided to milk my parents of their savings to fund his lifestyle because he had earned it, and they owed him for not giving him what he wanted when he was younger. When confronted about it, he was entirely unapologetic. As far as he is concerned, he was entitled to everything he got and then some. It's been a few years since then, and my parents have completely cut him off. They are surviving, but within a few years, I will probably end up having to support them. I have no issue with this. I'm their son, and I'm fortunate enough to be able to do so, but it breaks my dad's heart knowing this. He grew up dirt poor and worked his butt off to provide for us, only to see it all disappear because of my selfish brother. The psychologist had her license suspended after my parents laid a complaint. I don't know if it was temporary or not, but I hope it was permanent. As for my brother, he works a dead-end retail job with a live-in boyfriend who pays for almost everything. He's still an entitled jerk, and I only see him during Christmas. I just want to emphasize, my brother had legitimate mental health issues, and I do not want to take away from that at all. He just chose to willfully deceive everyone about the severity in order to demand that everyone else give him the life he feels he deserves. And before you ask, no, his mental illness did not contribute towards this attitude. It's not that sort of illness. He's just an entitled jerk. Mother wants to use my art for free because she's my mother. Context: my mother is a narcissist, a boomer in every meaning of the word. I went to art school for a long time and have been trying to sell my work for a while. During my art school days, I went through a very successful phase of drawing watercolor animals that myself, my friends, and my teachers liked. They were a big hit, and I was very proud of each one I made. I made the mistake of showing a few to my mother after she nearly forced her way into my sketchbooks that I kept very private at the time. Her first reaction to a few key pieces was, "This would look so cute on baby clothes." At the time, I just thought, "Oh, I guess so." I had no intention on selling them on shirts. At best, I thought they would make good stickers since they are the right size for them. Fast forward to last year. Happy 2020. And suddenly, my mother is still dead set on making my designs into baby shirts. This is something she was very ambitious about, but I wanted no part in. She forced me to scan a select few of my work. The consequences at the time were very mean, but I can't be asked to remember what they were, and then used them to her heart's content. A few days later, I had a therapy session, and I talked about this to my therapist. She and I had come up with a plan that basically said, "If you want any more of my designs, pay me first." My mother had told me that if she sold the shirts, that I would get $0 of profit because I
didn't put work into the process.
And it was
ridiculous for me to ask for any money for a doodle.
As per my therapist's suggestion, I started seriously looking into commission contracts. I had to sit down with my mom about what my therapist and I talked about, and she blew me off completely. I told her, "Either you sign a commission contract if you want any more of my work and/or if you want me to make new designs, or else you go pay for someone else to make your designs." Her response was very typical narcissist boomer behavior.
"Well, you're my child, and I let you go to art school, so you owe me for that."
Very important note, my school is a charter, meaning you didn't have to pay to go there. But my parents insisted that they paid thousands for my tuition, even though there was none, and I knew that there was no tuition. All you had to do was get past the 10% acceptance rate, pay for transportation and a few classes, and you were good. Anyway, time goes on, and my mother tries to sell her baby shirts with absolutely no luck. No one wants them. She tells her coworkers about the shirts, but no one has a use for them since she works in a building that is literally only people who are over the hill and who have grandchildren that are too big for her very limited designs. She resorts to giving them for free at any and every baby shower that she can get her grubby hands on, and each reaction is not great. I honestly would be surprised if the unfortunate recipients still have those shirts. Then the time comes around for her to ask for more. She misplaced the folder full of my forced scans, or I may have taken it away, who knows. And she comes crawling to me wanting more.
"I don't know what happened to my folder, so I want your sketchbooks so I can scan more. Also, make more art for me," she told me.
"Will you pay me for my work?" I asked.
"I already told you no. Now, give me them and make more."
"Will you give me any of the profit you make off the shirts?"
"No, I've given up on selling them. Now they're only going to be gifts."
I then held firm on our previous discussion of commission contracts. Thanks, therapist. And told her that I'm going to refuse to give her a single piece without payment. My pieces take a lot of time to make, and I'm already in school, so you're asking me to work this into my already busy schedule? I'm not moving on this. Her response, a hissy fit. She can't believe that her kid is asking to be paid for their work. So she resorts to the worst alternative.
Fine then. I'll just get images off Google and settle those since you're being unfairly rude to me.
I try to tell her that is, in fact, illegal, but she won't listen. She's too hurt by her unfair child to listen to the law. To this day, she has not found a single baby shower to lug her stolen designs to and force upon the unlucky mother-to-be. She has completely given up on her goal to sell those, and our shirt press has a fine cake of dust on it now. She blames her failure on me and refuses to support any more of my art accomplishments because I was mean to her for not letting her steal my art. I don't feel bad at all. Next we've got, would you like some cheese with your wine? I am a federal government employee who had just finished a successful business trip. I was flying home and had a layover in a large international airport. I had a long layover and had gotten a bite to eat and had gotten no notifications about my gate being moved from one airport to the other. I and several other unlucky passengers had gone to the original gate and sat wondering where the plane was at as it was time to board. Finally, we find an employee who tells us the gate was changed and it's now boarding and set to take off in 8 minutes. We all take off sprinting for the correct gate. For the record, I am a 55-year-old woman who does actually run 10K races, so I wasn't doing too badly at this. I get to the correct gate and tried to pull up my boarding pass on my phone. It wouldn't work. I made a few more attempts to pull it up, but it didn't work. The gate clerk asked me to wait and she would print one up. I was the last to board the plane, but I made the flight. It should be smooth sailing from here. Boy, was I wrong. This was a small commuter jet with two seats on one side and one on the other. My seat was towards the rear of the plane on the single seat side. I walked down the aisle and encountered a rather rotund, angry man. His leg was sticking out in the aisle and I didn't see it as I had my carry-on bag in front of me. I bumped his leg. Me. Well, I'm so sorry. I didn't see your leg. Angry man.
You should be sorry. Watch where the heck you're going from now on.
Me. I apologize again, but could you please move your leg so I can get to my seat? He scowls at me, but moves his leg. I place my bag under the seat and buckle my belt. After about 15 minutes, we still have not left the gate. The passengers are starting to wonder why. The pilot comes on and tells us that there will be a delay as the plane still needs fuel and no fuel trucks were available at that time. It would be a 30-minute wait. Angry man.
What the heck? Is everyone here so darn stupid that they can't fuel a plane?
Flight attendant. Sir, I'm sorry for the inconvenience, but...
I don't give a hoot how sorry you are. This is outrageous.
He says something unintelligible. After 45 minutes, we finally get fuel. The plane should have departed an hour and a half ago. It's now almost 10 p.m. A few rows ahead of me was an apparently non-English-speaking couple in front of me with their 3-year-old grandson with them. The boy was getting tired and frustrated. He started crying, but he was in his seat, so the plane left the gate. We had been away from the gate less than a minute, and he decided to throw a tantrum. He undid his belt and jumped over the grandma and into the aisle and starts to run down the aisle. The attendant sees the lad and notifies the pilot. The plane stops on the tarmac. Grandma catches the kid and puts him back in his seat with his belt on, which he immediately undoes again and runs screaming up and down the aisle. Grandpa catches him this time and returns him to his seat and puts the belt back on him. He's still screaming and crying, but he's seated. We start moving again for about 2 more minutes when this kid's head pops up over his seat. The attendant calls the pilot again and the pilot stops. The angry man is saying many things that I cannot put in this narrative. Grandma gets him again and goes back to the seat, but puts him in her lap. The attendant tries to explain that this is not allowed, but she doesn't understand. neither does Grandpa. The attendant asks if anyone can communicate with this couple. A few try, but they don't seem to understand. The pilot decides to remove this family from the plane, so back to the gate we go. We wait about 25 minutes for a representative from the airline to come and remove this family. The representative comes to remove the family, and all of a sudden, Grandpa gets up and yells,
"What do you mean we have to get off this plane? I paid good money for this flight."
Obviously, no problem with English. The family was removed, and we finally got on our way. It's now 11:45, 15 minutes after the plane was originally stated to land, and it was a 3-hour flight. The attendant began the drink service for the flight after about 30 minutes. Once again, the angry man's leg was in the aisle. The poor, frazzled attendant accidentally bumps his leg. Angry man.
"What the heck is wrong with you? This whole dang trip has been a total pile of horse crap. I want your name and your manager's name, etc."
Attendant. "Well, my name is attendant, and you can call this number in the morning, but I still need to finish the drink service in the back. Could you please move your leg so I can get by?" Angry man moves his leg but keeps grumbling. He stands up in the aisle.
"I'm not finished talking to you yet."
Starts to move down the aisle. Me, I jump into the aisle. I'm tired of this obnoxious fool. "Hey, what do you think you're doing?"
"Who the heck are you?"
"The person sitting behind you. I just wanted to let you know that you missed a perfect opportunity back there."
"What do you mean?"
"You should have asked the attendant for some cheese."
"Cheese? Why would I want that?"
"To go with the wine you've been having since you got on this plane." Everyone within earshot is now laughing hysterically. Angry man, his face turning red with anger.
"I want to know your name. I want to report you to the airlines."
Me, in a voice just above a whisper. "Sir, I work for the federal government. You really don't want to know my name, but I would love to know yours." I smile very nicely. The angry man's face loses all color, and he scurries back to his seat and sits down quietly. He politely addressed the attendant as ma'am for the rest of the flight. After we landed and we were getting off of the plane, the attendant thanked me for what I did, but wanted to know what I told him. I winked at her and told her to have a better day tomorrow. Next we've got, entitled Mother Tries to Steal Meat and Candy from Store. So, some backstory for this. I am currently working in a large grocery store chain. I am not that old, 16, and usually just sit as a cashier because I am so young at my job. I work a lot because I have a lot of free time, so I experience more absurd things than my fellow young workers, which only work in the weekends. This grocery store in particular in my city is also known for theft, so a lot of people steal from it, so we have locks for a lot of things in there to keep them away. I was sitting as the cashier, and had been for the last 2 hours, and I hear the entrance alarm go off, which it does pretty often, due to it being a little defective, and we were waiting for a repairman. And it is a mother and her little kid. Let's call them Karen and Entitled Daughter. Entitled Daughter puts her hands on her ears to cover the noise out, and my manager rushes over to turn them off and calm them down, explaining why it happened. My manager told us, over a communication headset we all have on, that they were pretty angry and that we had traumatized her little kid, and my manager just apologized and kept on going with his day. Another alarm goes off, and this time it's a different one. It's the expensive meat alarm, which goes off when someone tries to open the container where all our expensive meat is stored. I was close by, and I walked over to see Karen and Entitled Kid again. I smiled on my way over, just to be polite, and I asked Karen what the problem was since she looked angry. Karen.
"This is the second time you guys have traumatized my little baby over stupid things. I just wanted some ribeye steak and get on with my day."
I said back that she needs to call an employer to open it, or else an alarm will go off again while trying to calm them down. I opened the container, and they took a lot longer than expected to pick their meat, and I said to them, since I had to get back to my duties, I really need to get back to my duties, so if you would hurry up, I would appreciate it a lot. Then she replied with a look that kind of said,
"Mind your own business,"
and kind of scared me. After 7 minutes or so, she then says,
"Never mind, I don't want it anyways."
And then, just when I'm about to close the container again, She quickly grabs the ribeye and tries to hide it in her purse. I say to her, "Ma'am, you need to put that back unless you want it."
"What are you talking about?"
"I saw you taking a ribeye steak when I was closing the container."
"Are you accusing me of stealing?"
"No, not as of right now, because you haven't stolen anything yet."
"Just leave me!"
She yells that, by the way. I tell my manager about this, and he says that if any more problems come up with them, just let him know. So I go back to the cashier post and start beeping items through and getting more and more customers. All is actually going quite fine until I see Karen and entitled daughter step up. They've put their items on the conveyor and get up to the checkout, and I start beeping their items out, and I don't see that ribeye steak they took. I ask Karen nicely if I can have a look in her bag, as I have a right to do that if I think she is stealing, and this is how that goes. Me: "I unfortunately have a suspicion that you are stealing, so I would like it if I could please have a look in your bag."
"I am not stealing. We have been over this. I didn't take any ribeye steak,"
she says in complete denial. "Ma'am, either you let me have a look in your bag, or I will have to call my manager and have you stay put here in the store until we have all this sorted out."
"Fine, call your manager so he can see how stupid you are."
I then call my manager, and he comes straight down and starts talking with Karen as I stand right next to him because I need to be involved. Manager: "Ma'am, as a manager in this store, I have a right to get a look in your bag if one of my coworkers thinks you're stealing." Karen, shouting:
"You have absolutely no right to do this. And the fact you even have the audacity to speak to me like that, after you've traumatized my poor baby twice with your stupid alarms, that is so cruel."
I then notice that entitled daughter has sneaked behind me and walked over to the candy by the checkout and eaten some. I walk over and kneel down and say that she needs to go over to her mother and that her mother needs to pay for the candy she had eaten. Without me knowing, Karen had rushed over to me and in an instant grabbed my shoulder and pulled me back from entitled daughter. Entitled daughter then starts crying so loud that my ears begin to ring. Meanwhile, all that happened and Karen shouting right in my face, my manager called the police and they had arrived. One of the two policemen who arrived rushed over to Karen, holding her back from me as they could clearly see she was threatening me, and the other started calming entitled daughter down. My manager explained it all and showed them the footage, and Karen got arrested. I don't know her sentence though. And shoutouts to our regenerals of the day: Loco Lobo, Sam, Karen, and Bofur Dude. Become tomorrow's regenerals by leaving as many rees as you can in the comments below. And watch this video that just popped up next. You'll love it.